Good evening, Saints. It's late Wednesday night, December 2nd, in the year 2015, and I'm just coming to you very quietly tonight because of the lateness of the hour, and I've got my little grandson two rooms over asleep. But sometimes you just feel like your heart is so full of a sense of God's goodness and just His drawing presence that you just feel like you want to share with your friends or your family or whoever has an ear to hear about the goodness of the Lord. And just had a real special touch of God tonight that I want to share with you a little bit. I'm coming to you again with not much of a preparation except for what's been rolling around in my spirit. And because of the nature of how the Lord was talking to me tonight, I want to just start out by reading a psalm, because it's always good to put the word into the mix of what we're sharing from our hearts and from our spirits. Just let the word have some weight in the matter. So first I'll pray, and then I'll read Psalm 27. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your little visitation of your sweet spirit to me tonight. God, I thank you that you draw us aside from the cares and the busyness of our lives, Lord, to meet with you, to sit with you, to spend time with you, to be in your presence, Lord. And Father, I thank you that tonight you magnified yourself greatly, and I pray that your people will be blessed as I share how you spoke to me and how you so mercifully deal in your ways, Lord, to draw us to yourself. Lord, when we're busy about our lives, how you are an ever-drawn God. And we say, draw me, we will run after thee, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Psalm 27, just going to read, not going to make a lot of comments. This is a great devotional psalm, that's why I love it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Wow. Thinking about it now, maybe I will make a few comments. Today was a horrible day for the United States of America. We had an attack out in San Bernardino, California, by what appears to be very much another move of Islamic radical terrorists. I haven't been following the news all night because I left the TV and went upstairs to do something, so I don't know what the latest update is, except for that it's horrific. And I just pray that for those who can pick up a Bible who are trembling in their spirits over what's happening in our land, that they can pick up their Bible and read this psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Praises to your name, Lord Jesus. And then, like I said, what I have to share doesn't even have much to do with that scripture, but I wanted to read something that would bless your heart, and that's just such a beautiful psalm. Anyway, what happened tonight is I was just with my family, watching the news, seeing what was going on, and I kind of drifted off to sleep, which I find myself doing too much, and then I'm up late at night, such as I am tonight. Anyway, I decided to go on upstairs and went into my room, and I noticed that I had an upgrade on an app, which was the Audible app, which is an app which to give you books that you can listen to online, audiobooks. So it's been there for a while. I haven't really paid much attention to it, but anyway, I went ahead and I upgraded the app. And then I thought, well, it's quiet here, and I'm just going to pick up a little bit and just putter around and maybe get on the computer, and I'll listen to something as I'm working. So thought, what can I listen to? So I decided, well, I'm going to listen to Charles Finney. So I put his name in the search field. I put Charles Finney. Well, sometimes they don't always give you every word you want. They just go with the first word, which was Charles. So I started getting a whole lot of books with the name Charles, a whole lot of Charles Dickens and other Charleses, and then I came to Charles Spurgeon, Charles H. Spurgeon. So for some reason, Charles Finney wasn't coming up, so I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and listen to something by Charles Spurgeon. So I picked this one of his sermons, and I picked the first sermon, and this man began to read the sermon, and he read it, you know, not with much animation. I'm sure not nearly with the unction that Charles Spurgeon actually preached it, but I have to tell you, I was so deeply moved by what I was hearing. I didn't realize until tonight how I simply have not made the Lord Jesus Christ big enough. I have not exalted his name enough. And I especially have not ascribed to him the glory and the honor that he should have as head of his church. He is the head of his church. He's the builder of his church. And I was just so moved, and I felt like, Lord, this has got to change. So much emphasis on other things, and you know, everybody has their thing. They've got their pet doctrine, their pet revelations, and the things they love to talk about, love to share about, whether it be about the church or about the kingdom or about faith or standing against the wickedness we're seeing in our society. So many things where you know, we have a special message. We have our own little stake in something. And I'm sure with Christ being a many-member body as he is, that he does give everybody their part. He does give everybody something that they're especially anointed to share, and a burden that they're supposed to carry, and a torch that they're supposed to be constantly lighting, to just give impetus to a message that God is highlighting at the time. And there's so many you can think of. If you go down to the list and you think of your favorite preachers and their part that they give to the body of Christ, there's so much. And we're really a full and a blessed people in these days. But when I heard that word, and just the detail and the unction and the weaving together of the scriptures, and just the sense that he was imparting to me something that in all my years of even sitting under ministries that highly exalt the name of Jesus and want him to have the preeminence in all things, yet I feel like I have been missing seeing that expression of the exaltation of Jesus Christ, not only in fervor and in testimony and in exhortation, but in the Logos, in the Holy Writ, in the pages of the Bible, understanding and perceiving Jesus in the highly exalted place. He is the living Word. Jesus is the Word. And seeing that in the Word in a fresh way just brought brought an awe to me. And it made me feel like, Lord, we're a flighty people. We're a weak people. We're a shallow people. I just feel like, and I'm speaking of myself, how shallow can I be? I need to see you in the book more than what I've been seeing you. I need to see you as the God of the church, the God over your church, Lord. So caught up with our part, so caught up about what he's doing in us, his work in us, and so much all about us and how we can be ministered to, how we can minister, and just feeling so sorry, so very sorry that I've been missing something that I just need to get a hold of this. And I want to share something that as I was listening to this, the Lord reminded me of something that he began to make very real in my spirit, oh, at least 10 years ago, probably longer than that. But that the fact that these older saints that had something, that had such a deep well, that those are the fragments that remain. When Jesus fed the multitudes with the loaves and the fishes, in one instant, after they had gathered all the fragments up, after they had fed the multitudes and they gathered up the fragments, he said to gather up the fragments that remain, and that how the Lord would raise it up in the last day. And I believe that this is a kingdom expression, that we are going to go back into history and things that stir our spirit are being again reignited for the sake and the purpose of the kingdom of God, to make the expression of it glorious in the earth. And just as I was listening and I felt such a quickening, and I tell you, I wasn't even in a major state of concentration. I was actually playing Scrabble on my computer. I love to play Scrabble. And I was actually playing Scrabble on my computer as I was listening. And, I was hearing what was saying, but the more I listened, the more my attention wanted to be more totally turned to what I was listening to, and the wheels were turning. Lord, how can I make this more a part of my life? Getting these things into my spirit, getting these deep wells that these people had. I don't want to be just a shallow pond. I want to be a deep well. And this, when you hear these things, and when you go back in history and you read some of the beautiful things that were written by some of the saints of old who knew revival and knew a holy walk with God and a relationship with him. As you read these things, they're going to find expression in your life and in your heart and through your life, and even be wellsprings of ministry. And I think that's what the kingdom is all about. See, for years we've been told the old always persecutes the new. You got to get rid of the old in order for the new to come to pass, or the new to be realized. You got to forsake the old, and that may be true of some things, but everything the Lord ever did in his kingdom It's reality. From day one of creation, anything and everything God did, he will do it again. That means the enemy's gonna bring some tricks out of his bag, but he's not my focus. He's not my concentration. The things that God has done through different servants of the Lord down through history, and find a good Bible teacher, a good church history teacher, and just fill yourself with the understanding and the word of the Lord that some of these had in the past. Because I'll tell you, I'm listening to some things and I'm hearing a word that sounds every bit as current as anything that's being said today, but it's even being said with a greater depth of understanding. When I listen to Charles Spurgeon explaining things about different, even about different denominations and their place in the body of Christ, and how the Lord is using every part and every joint supplies, I hear him teaching about these things, bringing understanding to my heart. It's just like, those things that are cold and dead and ashes, there's still some embers that are to be stirred up and to be reignited for the sake of the kingdom of God. Any person that you witness to, just about everybody has some nugget of church history within their lives. If they're not in any church now, if they're not worshiping anywhere now, you can ask them, well, did your grandma go to church? And they'll say, oh, my grandma was a Lutheran, or my grandma was a Methodist. Right there, you can start, and guaranteed, when you start witnessing and telling them about how the Lord moved on someone like Martin Luther or John Calvin or whatever, any name you want to pull out of history, John Knox, any name you want to pull out of history of a old saint of God, guaranteed there will be a spark, because that if that rod budded at one time, it will bud again. This is the message of the kingdom. Nothing is wasted in God's kingdom. He is gathering up the fragments that remain, and he is raising them up in this last day. All these things are being raised up to the glory of God. And one thing that I feel is being raised up more than anything is that just about every one of these old-time saints that we can read about, they didn't have the distractions that we have in this day, and they had such hearts for the secret place and for waiting on the Lord, and everything they received came out of that place of relationship with him. And even as that's how it began for them, I believe that that's how it's going to conclude in us, that what they started, those foundations, those glorious foundations that we're building on, he is the chief cornerstone and he is the capstone. And Jesus, thank you, Lord. He wants to be so real and so precious. And we got to find ways in whatever we say, whatever we do, whatever we share, to make it about Jesus. Any message we need to find out, because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And we know that it's talking about him being lifted up on the cross. He was lifted up on the cross. But I also believe it means as we exalt him with our words, with our life, with our song, we've got to make the central focal point Jesus. I feel like I've been feeling like the Lord is really tired of his name being blasphemed, and for him, for being blamed and for being cast aside. And he is getting ready to restore honor to his name. He's getting ready to restore to his name the greatness that should be ascribed to it. He is getting ready to make real the very fact that everything we see of evil in this society is not something he ever wanted. He created a beautiful garden with delicious fruit trees. He had one tree. People, there, I've heard, you know, there's a book out or a sermon called There Were Two Trees in the Garden. Well, no, there weren't two trees in the garden. There were many trees in the garden. There was only one tree. There were two significant trees, but there were also other trees. But there was only one tree they were forbidden to eat from, and they went ahead and ate. They were tempted, and they gave in, and they ate that tree. And they plummeted themselves into a situation of having of good and evil and choosing, and the Lord allowed it all to happen because He wants us to choose Him, not to be forced by Him, not to be forced to love Him, but to choose Him. But God is getting ready to reveal Himself to those who will choose Him as absolutely magnificent in every way. The joy, the peace, the beauty, the glory of our lives will be Jesus Christ as we choose Him. And as this thing grows in the eyes of the world, as God's people mature into desiring Him as never before and having the good sense to choose His ways and to choose what's best and to choose Him, and this is, goes on display, our choices are going to be on display before the world, and God is going to be magnified, and people are going to not blame God anymore for everything that has happened in the world, in the society, because of wrong choices. It all goes back to that root of wrong choices, of evil choices, of choosing the evil rather than the good. But God is going to clear His name. He is going to clear His name before principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. God is going to absolutely clear His name, and He's going to be glorious. And how He's going to do it, He's going to do it through a church that chooses Him and loves Him and makes Him large, makes Him huge, makes Him grand, makes Him magnificent in the eyes of the world, because He is at the focal point. He is at the center. He has the preeminence in all things. And I pray in Jesus' name that we'll just be so stirred in our hearts to guard ourselves and to make it a commission that we are going to do this. We are going to see Jesus. We're going to exalt Him. We're going to see Him. We're going to find Him in the Scripture. We're not going to go into the Bible to re-preach one sermon without saying, Lord, where are You in this Scripture? Where are You? Where's the Gospel? Did you know that in every Bible story, you ought to be able to find the Gospel, the Holy Gospel, the everlasting Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You ought to be able to find it wherever you go. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praises to Your name, Lord. Okay, I think this is just long enough because it's just supposed to be a little testimony. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask You, Lord, cause me to see You, Lord God. I thank You, Lord, that You saw me when I was in sin and darkness and lost and hopeless and undone and in a horrible pit. You saw me, Lord Jesus, and You took me up by the hand and You lifted me up. And You brought me out of the miry clay. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray that You'd help me to see You as the glorious head, Lord, the Savior of my soul, and the glorious head of Your church, Lord, that You're building up, Lord. You're building Your body. Lord, Father, You're perfecting Your bride, Lord Jesus. You're maturing Your people, Lord God. And even as we have borne the image of the earthly, even now are we going to begin to bear the image of the heavenly. But we must look into Your face. And Father, we must have that one thing desire consuming us, Lord. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.